Welcome to the One Another Place. This is Pastor Mark. I'm blessed that you're tuning in. I hope that God can use this message to inspire you, encourage you, even restore you. And it would be my prayer that it would motivate you. Well, I want to ask you a question. Are you a five-talent worker, a two-talent worker, or a one-talent worker? And while you're pondering the answer to that question, let me ask you a couple other questions. Have you ever said in your heart that your neighbor or relative has had things easier because they've been given more? They've had been given more money, more talent, a better family, a better upbringing, even a better spouse. Did you possibly blame God for what was lacking, even attack God's character, like he really isn't loving, he's not giving, he's not gracious, he's not all of these things that they tell me in church that he is? And have we even gotten to the point where we give ourselves an excuse to do a poor job or not even try at all? Because it's God's fault. God didn't give us the talents, the ability, the money, the time, the health, whatever it is that we use as an excuse. While you're pondering those questions, I want to set the foundation for this evening's message with Romans 14:12. And it says that each of us individually will stand before Christ and give an account of ourselves. And what he's saying there is there's going to come a day where we account for what talents and gifts God has given us and for how we walked out our salvation, what we built on the foundation he set for us. It also is referring to giving an account for what we've done with our faith. It's not a judgment by Christ on our salvation. It's a judgment on what we've done with what he's given us. And by that, we mean what have we done with our works and our talents, and how have we helped others, and what have we done for the kingdom? And the promise that he gives is that we will earn or be given by him rewards. Yes, we're already there in heaven by virtue of our salvation, but even more so, when we get to heaven, we will receive rewards and crowns. And those are based on what we did with our faith. So you see this the first judgment, if you will, is whether or not our name is written in the book of life, and that's our salvation. But beyond that, Christ judges our works, what we've done with the things he gave us. And that's what we want to talk about today. Let me first say that everyone has spiritual giftings or talents. And the question is, what do you have and how did you use them? And even more so, will your works withstand the testing fire, the refiner's fire? And that's what we want to look at today. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, verse 25. Matthew 25, verse 14. We're going to read a parable that Jesus told, which you're probably familiar with. It's the parable of the talents. I hope today that there's going to be some new things that you see in this. And I hope that they touch your heart, convict you, and that your life is changed by virtue of hearing this parable today. Jesus says, verse 14, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them." I want to pause right there. This parable, by the way, is kind of an allegory. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like a man about to go on his journey. And we can look at this time after Jesus was raised from the dead, And he was spending 40 days visiting people, appearing to people in the flesh after he had been raised. And he was getting ready to go on a journey, because in fact he was getting ready to ascend back to heaven, to his original home with the Father, where he had the glory before he came to earth. And he calls his own slaves, in other words, his servants. He calls the apostles together and all the believers and disciples, and he gives these people his possessions. He entrusts it to them. And what is that possession? That possession is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us. And he also gives us gifts and talents to use to work our faith out. So even though Jesus is telling this story, it is kind of about him and us at the same time. Verse 15 of Matthew 25. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. Each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Notice how he gave each one according to his own ability. Jesus is not going to give us more talent and gifts and things like that than we have ability for. He knows what our ability is. And in fact, as life goes on, as our walk of faith goes on, our abilities increase. And we've been entrusted with a little bit now. He'll entrust us with more later. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. But Jesus is not expecting you to do more than he's given you the ability to do. Verse 16. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. 22. Also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. 24. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I want to look at a couple things in this passage here. Maybe one of the first things that jumps out is notice how each servant was giving a personal account to the master. The one with the 2 talents who gained 2 more reported to the master, See, I have gained 2 more talents. You gave me 2 and I gained 2 more. He didn't say, Hey, wait a minute, master. I only gained 2 more talents because you didn't give me 5. You gave that other guy 5 talents. Of course he's going to gain more talents than I am. You see how that works? They didn't do that. They accounted directly for the master with what they were responsible for, and the master was pleased. There was a direct relationship. It was each one giving their own account. Jesus expected more of those he gave more to, but he didn't expect more of the one he gave the 2 talents to. He was pleased with the 2-talent worker who only gained 2 more talents. And you see, so often we judge our fruit, our accomplishments by our neighbor, our brother, our sister. You know, the two-talent worker will moan and gripe because, you know, the other guy got more. And the guy that got more might be a little proud, a little bragger, and saying, look, I gained five. Ha ha, you only gained two. You know, I'm better than you. And this is what we are not supposed to do. Well, there's a third servant in this story, and that's the one that had the one talent. Now, look at this. The one talent guy responded out of a few problems. First of all, he had a low view of who the master was. He did not appreciate the master. He did not think highly of the master. He actually thought very poorly of the master. He thought that the master was wicked, that he was cruel, that he stole. And sad to say, there are some people in the world today that think of Jesus that way. And what do? They don't receive what Jesus is giving them. They go and hide it and they bury it. And they think that they're being smart about it. The other thing about this one talent servant, he was lazy. You know, how much work does it take to go bury the talent and leave it alone and go off and live how you want, do what you want, not having to deal with what the person gave you? In this case, what Jesus gives us. So, at the end of the story, the points, some of the points are that if we do not demonstrate a good stewardship, trustworthiness, diligence, effort in what Christ has given us, how can we expect to gain more? If you find yourself in a position where you feel like things are not going right, you don't have enough, you're not getting by, you know you could do more, you know you could do better, if only you had more to start with, if only this, if only that. Well, this parable should be teaching us that we need to work with what we have, be faithful and diligent with what we have, and then when we produce some fruit, we'll be given more. And then we can repeat the process, and we'll continue to reach those goals that we set out before that we thought we could not meet. And I'm not speaking of merely financial or physical possessions. I'm also talking about our work, our vocations, the things that we do in life, our relationships. You know, you may feel like you'd like to have more friends. But how good a friend are you to the one friend? How good are you a friend are you to the two friends? How good are you to the five friends? See, whatever, if we're faithful with the little bit that God gives us, He will give us more. This applies in the here and now, and it applies in the hereafter, in the future kingdom, in the future New Jerusalem. So you see, we have every motivation before us to be that five-talent worker or the two-talent worker. Now, the next point that we want to look at is, okay, you're motivated, you recognize that you've been given some things to work with. Now the question is, what are you building? If you will turn in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Actually, I think I'm going to start at verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. the big picture here on this passage is if we build things that are not eternal, such as the wood, hay, straw, the things that burn with fire, the things that don't last, the things that will not endure the refiner's fire, we will still go to heaven. But it'll be like Lot back in the Old Testament. The angels came to town and said, "Lot, you better get out of here. The fire from heaven is going to come down and destroy this place. Take your family with you." Well, that's exactly what happened. He left his town. He left his home, took his daughters and his wife with him, and they were out of town, and sure enough, the fire from heaven came down and burned the whole place up. So everything that Lot had built up over the years was burnt up. It didn't last. It was wood, hay, and straw. There was no eternal value. Lot appears to have lived a life of compromise, even though he was one of God's chosen. He was Abraham's nephew. Abraham had been given the covenant from God. Yet, Lot was still saved. But it was as through fire, wasn't he? He just got out of town and the fire came down. Well, it's the same thing with us Christian believers in the New Testament. Yes, the works that we do, the things that we do or don't do after we're saved, may amount to wood, hay, and stubble, and they may burn up in the refiner's fire, but we will still be in heaven. But there's another set of items in this list, and that is gold, silver, and precious stones. If we would build things that amount to gold, silver, precious stones, those things will withstand the refiner's fire. In fact, the refiner's fire purifies those things. And those are the things that we do that have eternal value, that that last eternally, that build up God's kingdom. So the gold, silver, and precious stones, what are they? The wood, hay, and straw, what are they? Well, again, we need to look at what we're doing, what we're doing in response to our salvation and the grace that we've been given. If we are spending all our time working, trying to earn money, and building bigger houses, buying newer cars, and doing nothing for the kingdom, that might be wood, hay, and straw, because we can't take that with us. But let's say that we're out spending the time serving others, loving others, and we're making other lives better. We're doing the things unto them as Jesus would have done. Let's say that we're evangelizing and bringing people to Christ. Let's say that we're discipling those that are hurt and broken, or those that just simply want to know God more. We're building the kingdom. It's a work that has eternal value, and it will withstand the refiner's fire. There's another point in here that you might have missed. Notice that each set of materials was used to build on the same foundation. That was the same foundation that was built upon with the gold, the silver, the precious stones, and the same foundation for the wood, hay, and the straw. So that that foundation is Christ. It's salvation. So they both have it, but one is going to result in something that gets burned up and the other will not. One will withstand the fire and the other one will not. And one will result in us getting rewards, and one won't. So the questions I'm working down to on the conclusion here, getting back to those first questions we asked, are you a five-talent worker, a two-talent worker, or a one-talent worker? And are you grateful for the talents you've received, and have you put them to good use? Have you determined in your heart that the talents that you've been given, the resources you've been given, are what you're supposed to work with? You aren't supposed to be complaining about not having more resources to do the work that God's called you to do. Revelation 19:8 says that the gold, silver, and precious stones are the righteous acts of the saints. Righteous acts are really acts of love and faith. Everything that we do needs to be done in faith. If we're doing it because we think that we have an obligation to Christ to produce things, that's not a faith. We think we're trying to pay back God. We can never pay Him back. We don't have that ability. So things must be done through faith. Another point is that sin in our lives, unrepentant sin, practice of sin, repetitive sin in our lives keeps us from serving Christ as we should. And you know what I mean. Search your heart. Ask God to search your heart. You know what sins that you might be living in? You know what sins you've kept hidden? And those are the things that keep you from serving Christ. Why? Maybe you feel guilty and you don't want to go out and talk to people because you don't want to have to be held accountable. You don't want people throwing that in your face and bringing it up. So you stay home and you don't go do things for Christ. Other things hold us back. If we refuse to go out in the community and love others because we have some sin holding us back, maybe we have past broken relationships and we haven't confessed and repented from those. Maybe we're worried that our neighbors or our friends or people that we're trying to help in the name of Christ will know that we are alcoholics or drug addicts, and that does not give a good name for Christ. And those things hold us back. So I'm not saying that you need to be perfect and clean to go out and serve. In fact, I'm probably saying the opposite. Go out and start serving right away. But recognize that if you want to achieve fruit, if you want to double the talents that you've been given, you've got to get sin out of your life. The way to get sin out of your life is to go out serving Christ, to start loving people. And then you will be convicted by the Holy Spirit to get that sin out of your life. Well, when we're talking about this refiner's fire in 1 Corinthians 3, are we speaking of quality of work or purity of work or quantity of work? And I think it's speaking less to the quantity, even though in our parable we see the two-talent worker return two talents, is because he was diligent. I can't imagine that he said, "Oh, I've already earned two talents. I'll sit back and coast. I did that in the first month. The other 11 months of the year, I think I'll just sit back and coast." Actually, I think that both the two-talent worker and the five-talent worker were working hard continuously because they didn't know when the master was going to return. And likewise, we don't know when our master is going to return. So we need to be engaged in the business of working for the kingdom faithfully, diligently, until such time as Christ returns. A few other points. Diligent is different than, say, being honest or having good intentions. Diligence is doing things purposefully, doing things, being intentional about it, being regular, being faithful. That's diligent. Honesty is a good thing, sure, but it's not diligent. Good intentions are good. We don't want to have the wrong motives, wrong motivations, but that's not the same as being diligent. So we see in the five-talent worker and the two-talent worker, they were both diligent. There's some scriptures, there's probably a dozen different scriptures in the New Testament that speak to diligence. One is Ephesians 4, verse 3. We want to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That means we need to put out the effort. We need to be faithful in doing that. And I think that that's when we achieve unity in the spirit, when we achieve peace and love and joy in our community and all our relationships, I think that's one of those gold, silver, precious stones type of things that we're building on the foundation of Christ. Proverbs 10:4 says, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Hey, we all see this in life. The lazy people that don't put out any effort, they live a life of poverty. They're always poor and in need. And those that are diligent and they work hard and they're honest, they're reliable, faithful, they always seem to have enough, maybe even plenty, maybe extra. And they're able to be generous to others. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. So here again, the bosses, the foremen, the owners of the company, they're those that are diligent with their time. They're diligent with the gifts God has given them, and they are the ones that rule. They're the ones that lead. They're the bosses, the employers, the ones that hire others. And those who aren't diligent will end up serving those. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of a sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. And in the scripture we can see that the poor, the one who has nothing, is maybe even maybe has animosity towards the diligent who has been made rich because of his diligence. So if you find that you're in lack and in want, look at your diligence. Are you being diligent? And in the kingdom of God, in the work of Christ, look at whether you're being diligent with what God's given you. I love the term excellence of charity. When we give out things, when we help others, do we do just enough to get by and make ourselves look good, just enough to get a thank you out of the person, and then we're gone? Or do we do something of quality? Do we say, you know, we get rid of that thought, well, you know, the needy shouldn't be particular. The needy shouldn't be demanding. So therefore, I'm only going to do a half-baked job. No, no. We need to do it as high a quality as we would normally if we were getting paid. And even more so, we need to do it so as to bring glory to God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of faith. Here again, the life of a Christian is one of diligence. It's one of good-natured belief and faith in Christ being a loving Savior, a loving Master. It is not accusing Him of not giving you everything you wanted or everything you don't deserve. Well, as we close up today's message, 2 Peter 3:14 says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. And I say to everyone out here listening, you know, what is our heart's motive? Do we believe, are we grateful for what God's given us? And do we then attempt to love others, serve others with what He's given us? Or do we begin to hoard it and bury it and hide it? Just like the one talent servant. So I want to challenge you today to take some prayerful time and look at your life's work, look at what you're doing now, and ask if you were doing all that you think the Master would want to see you doing if He were to return tonight. And if not, set your heart towards changing, doing more, getting to know God, loving Him more deeply, finding ways to love your neighbors, because in fact, God has given each of us a job description, and that is that we are community changers, we are ministers of grace, and we are to do that diligently and fervently, and do it with an attitude of love, a heart of love for others. Well, thank you for taking your time out from listening to music to listen to a little bit of the Word. I hope it's blessed you and inspired you. You can visit us on our website, www.amazinggraceco.org, or you can call us at 970-444-2111. Good evening, and God bless you.